things
off. Because the Bears beat the Rams, the Bears have the head-to-head record. So if they win and the Seahawks lose, or not the Seahawks, the Rams lose, the Bears would get that 2 seed. They'd have first round bye, home field advantage. They would love that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to hope and beg and pray for the 49ers to at least keep it close through three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're getting crushed at halftime and the Bears go to the locker room, head coach Mike Nagy might be like, you know what? Then we're not going to get the 2 seed. So let's just sit the guy. They're probably watching the game during halftime. Let's just sit the rest of the team. If it's close through three quarters, that might force the Bears to actually play the entire second half as well.
And San Francisco was competitive against the Chicago Bears yesterday, albeit in San Francisco. Chicago pulled it away 14-9, get the victory. But it was a close competitive game. So to your point, if they can keep it close like this, and the Bears just, listen, Bears just do your job. Go out there and beat that football team, period. Just go beat them. And you worry about the other stuff later on. And that will help the Eagles, of course.
You know what does suck, though?
What does suck?
Like, if they sit Trubisky, obviously the guys that are out there are still going to play because they're going to try to get
Chase
jobs.
Daniels.
Chase Daniels, the backup.
Chase Daniel.
That doesn't make me feel good.
No, not at all. Not at all. He did get a win, though, earlier in the year, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it was because of the Bears' defense, but
still.
I'll give it to Chase.
Okay. All right. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Andrew Salchunas, I'm Devon Givens. We are with you until 2 o'clock, filling in for Anthony and Jason this morning. Good morning. Happy holidays to you all. Happy Christmas Eve. Hope you're all safe out there as you're traveling, last-minute stuff, getting some things. You can stop by and drop some stuff off of me and Andrew if you want. We're here until 2 o'clock. I'm just saying, happy holidays, everybody. The Eagles won 32-30. Season is still alive. What more could you ask for outside of an already guaranteed playoff spot? But a competitive game, a meaningful game in Week 17 in Washington for an opportunity to make it into the playoffs. Nick Foles is the story again. 4 touchdowns, 471 yards yesterday in the win at home against Houston. And it just brings up the Foles-Wentz stuff all over again. But we do have to talk about the game overall. I just laid out some of the great things that happened yesterday, from Nelson Agholor to Alshon Jeffrey, 3 catches, but still a big day. Zach Ertz breaking the tight end record for catches in the season all time, breaking Jason Witten's record. Just good stuff overall that happened yesterday. An entertaining game, arguably the most entertaining and best game of the season. The extra point missed by Jake Elliott that he just likes to do and makes us sweat a little bit. But they came away with the win 32-30 over the Houston Texans, a team that was trying to lock down or at least get that number 2 seed in the AFC. They had something to play for yesterday, and the Eagles beat them. They are now 8-7. Going into Washington next Sunday, let's talk about the game as well. 610-632-0975. Keith in West Oak Lane, good morning. You're on the Midday Show.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas to everybody there.
Same to you. Thank you.
Hey, listen, excuse me. I just wanted to say, I've been watching the Eagles since Roman Gabriel times as a quarterback, right? And so I've seen quarterback controversies with Jaws and Randall and with Pete. And McNabb and Garcia, I've seen the quarterback controversies in this town. At no time during those previous quarterback controversies was one of those quarterbacks the winner of the previous year's Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. At no other time was one of those quarterbacks that.
No.
There is no quarterback controversy in this town. There is none.
Okay.
Wentz had his opportunity to win.
Who did?
2 games. He had the chance to beat the Cowboys twice this year. And he only waited until the end of the third quarter into the fourth to play ball the last time we played him. If he'd won one of those games, we would not be in the situation that we are in right now. In my opinion, we win 4 more games. Foles gets in the Super Bowl again. And if he wins again next year, Wentz has to work his way into a starting role. If Foles is here,
well,
so
see, but you're sitting there saying that the there would be 4 more wins if Nick Foles was in there. We don't know that, and we also Hold on, Keith. We don't know that in those 2 Cowboy games that things would have went any differently. We have no idea.
The defense overall has not played well either.
The secondary has not been great. The injuries have taken things over. We saw how things went. What are you talking about, all these excuses? I'm not making excuses for anybody.
Foles has the same secondary. He's got the same running backs. And he scored 30 points the last two games.
Yes, he did.
Okay? He's throwing the ball deep. That's what Wentz didn't do. He did not go deep.
He did not.
A Hall of Fame tight end this year, but we wasn't winning. You guys need to stop babying this stuff, man. We got four games.
Have you not been listening to all these people talk about how Carson Wentz has to earn his way back in there because this is Nick Foles' team right now? Now, next year is a whole totally different story, Keith. But what are you listening to? There have been plenty of things that have been said about the miscues of Carson Wentz during this year. Come on now. Nobody's babying him. He's been getting attacked to the point where then people starting to feel bad saying, hang on, he still is the franchise quarterback. So come on, Keith, with that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And you do not know that they would have four more wins. That's just like us saying, hey, Carson Wentz would have beat Atlanta, Minnesota, and New England last year. We don't know that either. Do we feel confident in that? Probably, but we don't know that. You don't know that. Let's call it for what it is. We don't know that Nick Foles would have beaten Minnesota, Carolina, or either of those Dallas games. We don't know that. 610-632-0975. Go ahead, Drew.
I know it's just the vocal minority that are bringing up points. The majority of the Eagles fan base knows that Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback and how he should be.
We're babying him, Keith said.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that. I know it's just the vocal minority, and they're loud. The vocal minority is loud when it comes to Nick Foles. But has that number at all, do you think, has that number increased? Like, let's say you do the pie chart, right? 100%. I would have a feeling that 6 months ago, before Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, 99% say Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback. After Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, I'd say it went down to 90-10. After these last two games, do you think that number has changed even more in terms of fans, Eagles fans, that would prefer Nick Foles over Carson Wentz? Not just for one game, but for a whole season.
That has changed, yes. Of course it's changed.
What do you think that percentage is? I get it, 75-25. Obviously, that's a
big... I'm not even going to go that high. I would say it's...
80-20?
No, it's probably like... Listen, there still are those Carson Wentz people out there. So I would say like 60-40. There's still a bunch of Carson Wentz people out there.
60% say Carson Wentz. 40% would rather have Nick Foles?
Yes.
40?
Yes. It's not 80-20 that is straight up Nick Foles? No.
No. 80-20. Like 80s Carson Wentz, 20 is...
Oh, all right. Well, no, I would say...
I would not go 60-40.
No, I would say 75 then.
All right, so there's still a quarter of the fan base that you think would rather have Nick Foles.
Yes. Because we're in the right now. Look at what we're seeing. Look at what we're talking about. We're here right now doing this. He's doing this. Yes. You know how it goes. Look at what Keith just said. He would have won both of those Dallas games. We don't know that. Would Nick Foles, would Carson Wentz have beaten the crap out of the Atlanta Falcons in week one? Would Carson Wentz have been able to go toe-to-toe with Ryan Fitzpatrick in week two? We don't know because he wasn't out there. We have no idea. And even after those two games, how many people were calling for Carson Wentz to be back out there against the Tennessee Titans? Right? You were. It was what it was.
But that number is rising for Nick Foles, I think.
Probably.
Again, it used to be 90-10. It might be, if it's 75-25, all of a sudden the Nick Foles bandwagon is starting to fill up a little bit.
Yeah, and nobody was calling for Nick Foles against the Indianapolis Colts in week number three. Everybody wanted to see Carson Wentz back out there. 610-632-0975. Most people did. Corey in Philly is on Midday Show. What's up, Corey? Yo, Corey. All right. Well, Corey is not available right now. We'll check in with Eddie next on the Midday Show. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
I heard of a statistic that I couldn't believe when I heard it. Out of Carson Wentz's wins last year, only two of the wins were against winning teams with winning records. Did you guys ever hear that?
Go for it.
Or think about that? Yeah, the other thing that worries me is the two teams we beat last year in the playoffs are exactly the type of teams that he lost against last year. So I really don't think, like you said, you can't predict it if Nick Foles was in there last year.
We have no idea.
Right, no idea. But, I mean, if you just go by The proof that you have in front of you, I mean, the guy, Keith, I know he was kind of belligerent, but he did have some good points that, well, I think we would at least won one of them games against Dallas. But, you know, just like you guys said earlier, when Carson Wentz has that injury and he sees ghosts coming at him and you don't know what's going on in his head, you don't know what's going on inside the team's head either when Nick Foles is out there. It just does something to him. And that just ups them. I mean, it just ups their physical play unbelievably. Like Smallwood said, I don't really think that was a slip that he said. I think he was just talking with passion and emotion and truth when he said that Nick Foles has a swagger that we miss. I mean, yeah, okay, it wasn't politically correct, but I really don't want to hear politically correct. I want to hear the truth. And I just think that he spoke the truth, and
Look, Ed, as you just talked about with our Joe who called in, I believe it was Joe, I apologize. But look. All right, so remember the Dallas game, right? And you look at the Dallas game, and the Eagles' four plays tied things up 16-16. One play right afterward. What happens? Touchdown, right? The defense. Touchdown. Amari Cooper went for 75 right away because Bowsby and Corey Graham did not know what was going on. Corey Graham is on the other side of the field. Bowsby is one-on-one. He's standing outside, out of bounds. And, you know, he's confused about what's going on, just watching Amari Cooper run down the field. That's not Carson Wentz. That's the defense. That's the secondary. So, to his point, yes, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles had the same personnel out there. Carson Wentz had nothing to do with that. He got that game where it needed to be right there, tying it up 16-16. It was up to the defense, which is shorthanded, to do what they needed to do to stop Amari Cooper. So we can pick at all of these little things. And by the way, they came back and got another score. Who led that drive? Carson Wentz.
Right. And you know what the one thing I think that Nick Foles does that Carson doesn't, when they go up against strong defenses, Nick Foles seems to adapt. He seems to say, okay, this isn't working, we're going to do this. And he seems to get more players involved, in my opinion, and what I have seen. So I think that's the difference, too. He just adapts, and I think that comes with experience think Carson will get.
Eddie, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. With the spreading the ball around to the different receivers and all that stuff, we know how that looks. And Carson spreads the ball around a little bit. He just has that eye for Zach Ertz. Oh, by the way, Zach Ertz had 12 catches yesterday. Anybody see that? Was it just taking what was given to him? Yes, we know the deep shots down the field. That's one thing. But Zach Ertz did have a lot of catches yesterday. I think we're forgetting about that, too. A lot of catches yesterday for Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, 12 catches. He was targeted quite a bit, wasn't he? 12 catches? 16 targets yesterday for Zach Ertz. What was that? 610-632-0975. We're keeping these phone calls rolling, talking about the Birds' win 32-30 over Houston. Season is still alive. What more could you ask for in Week 17, except for already locked up playoff position? And the Carson Wentz, Nick Foles debate continues and rolls on. And, man, can we just talk about the game as well?
No.
All right. Andrew's up with the update next right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Third and 13 for Houston. Just underway here in the fourth. Watson loses the ball on the sack. Scooped up by Fletcher Cox. And the Eagles take over.
That was Chris Long with a little bit of a game yesterday. Again, Iron Eagle. Every cut you hear is going to be Iron Eagle. So just get used to it. That was courtesy of CBS's. This game was on that channel yesterday, not Fox.
I know Watson beat up the Eagles a little bit.
Yeah.
But that defense, they had a decent game.
Well, between he and Clowney, they did things. Everyone else, not so much.
Right.
Yeah.
But that Eagles defense played okay yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, you have to look at what they have on the field. No disrespect to Cravon LeBlanc, but the guy was a practice squad guy a couple weeks ago.
He's been doing stuff, though. He's been pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's shown me some things. And Avante Maddox, yeah, they drafted him in the fourth round. But did you expect to see Avante Maddox play over Jalen Mills, Sidney Jones, Ronald Darby, Rasul Douglas
not
this year.
All.
No, you didn't, but they have to play right now because of all those injuries. If I told you before the season, I sound like the 30 for 30. What if I told you?
What if you told us?
Sidney Jones is out. Jalen Mills is out. Ronald Darby is out. Rasul Douglas is one of your starting corners now. You have a guy named Cravon LeBlanc. You have Avante Maddox, fourth round draft pick. If I told you that and I said the Eagles have to win 5 out of their last 6 games to make the playoffs, did you think that would happen?
You'd be out.
Exactly.
You'd be out. No.
And there's a chance. No. If they win this Sunday, now, of course, it depends on what the Bears do against the Vikings, but if they win this Sunday, that's the Redskins, the Giants that they beat, Rams yesterday Texans. Against the Texans, and if they beat the Redskins again, that's 5 out of their last 6 games.
5 of 6.
With those guys on the field. Again, no disrespect to those guys, but they're not, they weren't even on the team, some of them.
They are those guys. That's exactly who they are. And that's why we were talking about the lack of personnel that they have, because they are just those guys. They are not household names like Mills and Darby and McLeod and Sidney Jones.
I didn't even mention McLeod.
No, but it is nice to see what Avante Maddox is doing, because now you've seen him in different roles at the safety position, at corner, at slot corner. He can do a lot of different things. As Jason Avant likes to point out, LeBlanc has probably earned himself a right to play for a spot on the team next year.
He has shown you more than Sidney Jones.
He has.
A guy that you spent a second round draft pick that I was ecstatic for.
So was I.
A guy that you spent a second round draft pick and sat for the majority of his first year. And a guy named Cravon LeBlanc and Avante Maddox are showing more than Sidney Jones.
Yeah, he better get his stuff together. Healthy, all that. Get it together. Rasul Douglas, 9 tackles. He led the team yesterday, 8 solo. And we just played the Chris Long cut, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. So he showed up yesterday. And the defensive front just did an okay job, but overall they made plays when they needed to make plays. 610-632-0975. I don't know these guys. We don't know. Leroy Reynolds is out there, and you got LeBlanc and any Sullivan you want to decide to put out there on the field. Just guys. So you got to give a little bit of credit to Jim Schwartz, specifically for the game last week against the Rams, but yesterday as well. Good game by Deshaun Watson, but these guys have just been competing. They have their feet underneath them, if you will, now that they've been back there. They feel a little more comfortable being that they're playing week after week. They know they're going to be out there trying to make a name for themselves in this NFL. They're getting a shot, and they're getting a shot on potentially a playoff team. So if they win against Washington and they sneak in, they're going to have another tough game. But these guys don't seem like it's phasing them. Now, Rasul Douglas, that touchdown, that was not good. That was not good at all.
Well, he's not a corner. I stand by it. He's a safety.
He's a safety. Yeah, Vincent Smith got him pretty good on that one.
He got beat, but he went with him stride to stride, step to step, until about the 3-yard line. And that's when he just sort of tripped over his own feet because he's not a corner.
It was awful. 11 o'clock hours brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Go ahead. Go out there. Take advantage of that. It's, again, Christmas Eve. You know you're out there running around. I know you are. Dan and Exton is next on the Midday Show. What's up, Dan?
Yes.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you.
Hey, I have 2 questions for you, and both revolve around the referees a little bit.
Okay.
First question. How is Brendan Graham supposed to deliver a hit, a tackle on Deshaun Watson and not get flagged? Was that a penalty?
I did not think it was a penalty. I don't know if there was any clarification, if it was forced laying his body more onto him at the end of the hit, driving him into the ground, but that was a bad roughing the passer penalty on Graham.
Yeah, I would love to hear a clarification on that. And the one that really ticks me off, and kudos to Peterson for going on it on fourth down constantly, and then that 2-point conversion, we can question whether or not he should have gone for it or not, but what the hell were the refs looking at when Nick Foles almost had his head ripped off?
They were not. They missed it. I mean,
they missed it. They had how many refs? 6 of them watching the game? I know when they're watching the backfield and all that in the secondary, but there had to be somebody watching the tackle.
Well, yeah, and I remember watching the TV feed while we were all there. Andrew as well was doing the watch party. Jason Avant and I stuck around for a little bit to watch the game. And they started to break it down, circling Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts, right, Drew? They were circling
the back
points,
judge.
The back judge.
He was looking at the line.
He was looking at the line
for holding
instead of Foles on that particular play.
Man, oh man,
they still screwed up though. Like they still screwed up.
They could have cost. I mean, I know. You know, I don't want to blame the refs for losing a game, but those 2 points, theoretically, if we got those 2 points, would have sealed it at the end.
Well, I mean, listen, they've had their issues all season long, Dan, where we've had some questionable things. Thanks so much in the Brandon Graham play. Well, you're right. What was he supposed to do? Clowney putting his helmet into Nick Foles' chest, stuff like that. There's things all over the place that the officials missed, and that was definitely a bad one.
There was one play where Deshaun Watson, it looked like it should have been intentional grounding. Do you remember that when Fletcher Cox had him wrapped up? And he threw it. Didn't even reach the line of scrimmage.
Right.
It should have been intentional grounding. I don't know why there was no call.
Mm-hmm.
But if Fletcher Cox does just bring him to the ground, hell, they probably would have called it roughing the passer.
Laid his body on him.
But because he did not go down, because he did not force him down, Watson had a chance to throw the ball away. And the refs missed an intentional grounding call. But that, I mean, either way, if he does bring him down, they're probably throwing a flag for roughing the passer.
No, you're probably right, man. 610-632-0975. Scott on Twitter, at Sciano, S-I-A-N-O, 78. Nick Foles will never be as good as he is here. I think he even knows that. The Eagles are the perfect fit for him. When he leaves next year, we will see him fail again, unfortunately. What I hope is Wentz learns from Foles' play this season how to be a successful quarterback in this offense. That's an interesting take. Again, see, that's where you start to get the Carson Wentz guy, take the negative with Nick Foles and say he can't be good enough. He might be a lot of quarterbacks are system quarterbacks. Are they not? They play right in the certain system. They may not be able to adjust to different things. What we know is in this West Coast offense, that's why Nick Foles was drafted in the first place by the Philadelphia Eagles, that he's a West Coast quarterback. Now you have different things, different variations of how you like to do stuff. You have the run pass option with all of these things going on, right? But I mean, listen, the guy is good. He's a system quarterback, but he's a darn good system quarterback with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, since he has the option of picking his team, you would think that he's going to go somewhere where the system fits him best. If he leaves Philadelphia, by the way.
If he does leave. If you're, all right, here's the next question. If you're Philadelphia, do you let him go?
How much money are you talking?
Well, that's the thing.
That's the question.
You're going to eventually
give
up.
You have to pay Carson, too.
Exactly. You're eventually going to pay Carson Aaron Rodgers-like money. And I know a lot of people are going to be hesitant to do that because of his injury history. And I don't want to say I'm hesitant, but like, I'm going to sign him to Aaron Rodgers-type money.
You have to.
You're going to have that in the back of your mind. When you're typing up that, when Howie's typing up that contract, or his secretary is typing up that contract, Howie's going to be sitting there like, oh, man.
Well, see, here's the
thing.
Do I
want to give him 35?
You have to sign him, right, Drew? But you can have a negotiation now. It doesn't just have to be, oh, here's Aaron Rodgers' money. We can have a negotiation because the injuries every year, the fact that we have won a Super Bowl without you under center.
Right.
These are things that are going to be talked
about.
Well,
it's
like
the Embiid contract.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid signed this monstrous contract, but there are stipulations that if he doesn't play a certain amount of games, or remember if he got hurt again.
Yeah.
The Sixers would end up saving some money. So maybe the Eagles can do that as well. And that's going to be up to Howie, not us. Not us on the radio, not the callers.
We love you. We want to give you this money, but
your history.
Let's talk about this so we can save ourselves some cash. 610-632-0975. Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens in for Anthony and Jason here on the Midday Show until 2 o'clock. TJ in South Jersey joins us next. What's up, TJ?
What's up, my man? How are you, boy?
Oh, good, man. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. Thank you. So I have a couple points real quick. I just wanted to touch on that tweet that you guys just read. So I actually run a MMA gym, a mixed martial arts gym, and completely agree with that guy's analysis. I don't think Nicky Foles will be as good anywhere else as he is here. The way you need to train certain fighters or certain kids, adults, are completely different. The way I might train someone isn't going to work for one guy, but then it might work, you know, the way somebody else trains.
True.
Them.
Although, you know what I mean? Although I will say this, though, TJ. We're talking about Jeff Fisher at the quarterback position. Not many people have been able to succeed under Jeff Fisher with the way he's been coaching since he had Steve McNair. Let's be honest with it.
Very, very, very good point. I just wanted to mention
And he was okay when he was with Andy Reid for the little bit of time that he had to fill in there for Alex Smith.
You got a point. I just still think that Nicky Foles will never put up the numbers he just put up yesterday with another team. And I think Carson Wentz is going to be our starter going forward no matter what. I think Carson Wentz is by far the better superior quarterback, even though a lot of people nowadays do tend to disagree. But my main point was on Jake Elliott, the kicker. So setting up for that kick yesterday to win the game, were you guys a little nervous?
Always. I'm always nervous. I know Andrew is as well. I'm always nervous, man. Always nervous with Jake Elliott. It's not the David Akers effect at all. Not the David Akers effect.
Yes. I mean, yes, I was watching with my girlfriend and her family, and someone in the room said it. They were like, yeah, we're going to win. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I'm not going to get too excited until I see that ball go through the upright.
No, that's what he does to us, man, and extra points, field goals. TJ, thanks again, man. Really appreciate the call. That's just who he is. He can knock in that 61-yarder. He'll bang that one in, no problem. But the easy ones, that's where we get a little nervous.
Yeah, I put out a tweet last week, and I said me watching Jake Elliott kick an extra point attempt, and it's Key and Peele, like the sweating gif, right? So I was like, let me dive into his extra point attempts. Now, he's only missed five in his career. He's 69 of 74. So you might say, oh, five's not that much. Four. These are the four that really stand out to me. Yesterday, when they only won by two and cost me some money against the Texans, because the line was minus two.
Mm-hmm.
Week 14, when they lost in overtime to Dallas. Imagine if he makes the extra point. Again, scenarios are different. Teams might play different depending on the score. But let's just say they win 24-23. There's no overtime. He missed one against the Falcons in the divisional round last year when they won 15-10. He missed one in the Super Bowl when they won 41-33. Imagine if Gronk does come down with that catch and they go for two and they get it. Now it's a tie game. You go to overtime. I get it. It's just one point. And of course, there's a guy that responds, well, they've won those games three out of the four and he's hit huge field goals late in those games. Yeah, you're right. He has made those big field goals, but maybe you don't need that big field goal when you miss a chip shot for a field point after. You just make the pit and then make the chip shot. That's all you do in practice.
Were you nervous yesterday?
Oh, the field goal?
At the end of the game, yeah.
Yeah, because that was point after attempt range.
Yep.
That was point after attempt range. And I stand by it. I wish the Eagles kept on trying to get to the end zone. Not because of the betting world. But if they... I don't have the faith in Jake Elliott from that range.
More confident.
I don't want to talk about a kicker because it's just a kicker. He's not that big of a part of the team. But that one point means a lot. A lot.
It does. It does. I mean, you can even talk about the field position where Johnson hit the punt all the way down to the goal line and the guys could not keep it out of there, right? Stuff like that. You get just little tiny things that come into play. Little tiny things.
I forget who it was that didn't down the ball, but
I think it was Reynolds.
So he has a chance to down the ball at the four. Instead, he wanted to down the ball at the one.
Of course, man, you get better props that way.
I get it. But those 3 yards costed you then 20 or 16, if you want to do the math. All of a sudden, they're at the 20-yard line because you touch it when you're in the end zone.
Well, hey.
Come on.
See, we're picking. We're picking. They got the win. It's a Football Monday. Football Monday is brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. Back to it on the phones with Chris in Allentown on the Midday Show. Chris.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Same to you, my man.
Hey, listen, I'm very excited about this run we just had. These last two games were phenomenal. This is the best Eagles football I watched all season. I don't take it as just being a part of Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is that spark that got us there. And I am, no matter what happens next week, and I really think Minnesota is going to lose because I don't think Chicago wants to see them for a third time in the season. So I think they're going to play their starters from start to finish because that's an Andy Reid thing. Mm-hmm. And Nagy's coming from Andy Reid. So I think we have a really good shot of making the playoffs. But if we do not make the playoffs, we still have that Super Bowl caliber team. Once we get rid of Jim Schwartz, we get Spagnuolo here, who could actually blitz and throw a different coverage besides the vanilla that's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have a really strong team. Carson Wentz gets an offseason. I love Nick Foles. I love what Nick Foles is doing. I'm glad he is iconic in Philadelphia. He always will be. He will never buy a dinner or a beer in our city whatsoever.
Legend.
Legend, absolutely, 100%. But if you look at this team right now, the way they're clicking, Carson Wentz, if you go back to that Tennessee game, 13 minutes into the third quarter, he got sacked by two people, and I believe that's where he hurt his back. So the kid just came back from an injury and then got his back injured now right at the end. So there's just so many things that you can go point back to this season. And I think a lot of it's our defense. I don't think Carson Wentz is Nick Foles, but Nick Foles isn't Carson Wentz. By hands down, Carson Wentz is going to be the better quarterback each way you look at
right
it.
Now, fast though, Chris, if they do win on Sunday and the Bears beat the Vikings, they get into the postseason, and they deem Carson available to play, are you going with Carson or are you going with Nick?
I am starting the game with Nick Foles, and if he starts stumbling, Carson Wentz is going in.
So he's active. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. 100%. Why would you not?
All right, Chris.
He's a better athletic quarterback, man.
He is, but only if he actually uses that athletic ability. Chris, thanks for the call. Happy holidays to you, because we know that with the back and the knee and all that stuff, he has not been his normal athletic Carson Wentz self.
Now, in terms of Nick Foles, we mentioned Shil Kapadia a couple times today of The Athletic because of his Malcolm Jenkins quote that he had.
And we'll talk about that quote later on.
Coming up on the other side, nice radio tease. Nick Foles' numbers compared to the rest of the league in the last 2 weeks, just to show people or tell people how good and how out of his mind this guy's been playing the last 2 weeks, he's up there. I mean, number one in a couple categories. So I'll get them to you later on. Next segment.
All right, should we read the Malcolm Jenkins?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's read Malcolm Jenkins again, just for the people who may not have heard Malcolm Jenkins. A quote yesterday after the win, speaking with, this is from Shil Kapadia of The Athletic. "That's Nick Foles," said Malcolm Jenkins. "Whether he's on the bench or in the game, he's the same guy. I think we get confused sometimes because he's a backup quarterback. He just happens to be Carson Wentz's backup, but he's a player. He's a Super Bowl MVP for a reason. Obviously, he's pumped life back into this team. The offense is playing phenomenal right now when we need it. But that's Nick. It's no different. It's not like he rose to the occasion. This is what he's made for. This is Nick Foles." That's Malcolm Jenkins, the leader of your football team, talking about right now, the leader of all of the fans' hearts for the Philadelphia Eagles, as again, they try to push this team into the postseason. Win on Sunday, a Bears win over Minnesota, and you are in. Will the Bears play their players? You just heard our last caller just talk about it. Will the Bears play their players? They want to just go out there and get the win. Just go out there and get the win. You may not get the bye, but there's an opportunity because the Rams and the 49ers are playing. 49ers are not going to beat the Rams. We don't think that, right? In Los Angeles, it's not going to happen. That said, handle your own business, and that's what the Bears need to do against Minnesota, and that will help out the Birds if they take down Washington next Sunday. 4:25 kickoff now. No longer 1 o'clock kickoff. 4:25 kick for the Birds and Washington next Sunday. And of course, we will have everything covered this week in the pregame show next Sunday. It's going to be a blast. Week 17, still fighting for the playoffs. We're still talking about it. 610-632-0975. Doug Peterson, presser at 12. We're talking Birds all throughout here. Nick Foles, Carson Wentz, the whole thing right here on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Football Monday is brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio.
11:51 here on this Football Monday, as you just heard from Jason, Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens in for Jason and Anthony on this Football Monday, Reaction Monday, Christmas Eve Monday. Happy holidays, everybody. Hope you're all doing well out there. We do also want to give you guys the poll of the day, which you can find at 975 The Fanatic on Twitter, which is, will the dream scenario happen? Will the Eagles beat the Redskins, and will the Vikings lose to the Bears next Sunday? Your two options, yes, I believe, and no more magic. Again, you can vote at 975 The Fanatic. There are, what, about 18 hours left on this poll. So make sure you guys go ahead and get involved with that. Right now we have about 1,500 votes. That look like 1,500 votes right now. And let me see. Let me hit that. 74% right now says, yes, I believe 26% says no. So you still have time. The poll of the day is brought to you by Roofing Nation. Get a brand new roof for as low as $7,900 plus free gutters. Call Roofing Nation today at 833-4NATION or visit roofingnation.com. Don't forget again, Doug Peterson's day after press conference at 12 o'clock noon. You can hear that right here on 97.5 The Fanatic on the midday show. And we will certainly react to what Doug Peterson has to say in his press conference, whether it be about Foles, Carson Wentz, anything else going on, we will find out from the head coach at 12 o'clock right here. So let's get to those numbers before we get back to Ryan and everybody else on the phones. Two people dropped off. If you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. Drew, you have some numbers.
Yeah, these are from Sheil Kapadia of The Athletic, and this is the last 2 weeks Nick Foles compared to other quarterbacks around the NFL. Passing yards, 741 yards combined the last 2 weeks. That's first among all quarterbacks in the NFL the last 2 weeks. Completion percentage, 73.8. That's good for third. Yards per attempt, 9.3. Good for third. Net yards per pass play, 9. That's good for first. And 20-plus yard completions, 10. That's good for third. So all those stats are top three. Like, that's how well this guy has been playing the last two games.
Yeah, he's been rolling.
And he's been sitting since week two.
Yeah.
And I'm okay that he's been sitting since week two. Let me be clear. Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback. But it's just amazing how this guy can just come off the bench out of nowhere and put up numbers like that.
Well, you heard Var earlier talk about Nick Foles. You've heard other people talk about Nick Foles. We read the quote from Malcolm Jenkins, the leader of the Eagles defense and team overall, speak about Nick Foles. He's just a Carson Wentz's backup. He's not a backup in this league. He's a starting quarterback in this league. And right now, he's playing like he is one of the starting quarterbacks in this league, playing at a very high level after yesterday afternoon's win over the Texans, 32-30, 471 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Could have had a couple of other things. We haven't even gotten to the fumble, which was a strip sack fumble inside the 5-yard line for the Texans. They walk right into the end zone after that. So there were a lot of things going on, but the guy's just simply playing well. And if he continues to play well to get into the playoffs, Carson Wentz is deemed ready to go. I'm with Andrew and a lot of other people. You stick with Nick Foles until the season is over.
And I wasn't saying that last week.
Neither was I.
Now that he's done this 2 weeks in a row, how can I take him out?
Cannot. And we'll hear from the coach again 12 o'clock on his thoughts on the game. Yesterday, Nick Foles, Carson Wentz update, all of that stuff. Let's go to Ryan in Middletown on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, good afternoon, guys, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you, man.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the conversation. Big time Eagles fan. I have the gray hairs to show, and it's interesting. Tom Brady was Drew Bledsoe's backup. Now, look, I'm not saying that Nick Foles is Tom Brady, but my point is the whole idea. Well, because the guy is a backup, then that kind of defines him is ridiculous to me. All right, Nick Foles has kind of earned this spot right now, beating two of the top teams in the league. And in addition to what you just said in terms of the numbers, he's also the reigning Super Bowl MVP, all right? And he also put up numbers in 2013 for Chip Kelly. You know, so at some point, we need to stop this saying, oh, it's just an episode here. It's, you know, it's a moment here, a moment there. The reality is with Carson Wentz, we have really is 2017. He was 11-2 as a starter, put up phenomenal numbers. In 2016, he had a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018... he had a losing record. And now he looks at one of his contemporaries, Dak Prescott, has now won a division 2 out of 3 years. So at some point, you know, Carson needs to stay healthy. He needs to win a division. He needs to win playoff games. And so I don't know what's going to happen to Nick Foles. You know, I think the smart decision would be for Howie Roseman to use that fifth-year option for Carson Wentz. You don't have to negotiate anything right now. The contract allows you to do that. Bring him back. Carson needs to stay healthy for an entire season next year.
No, he does. In the first year, he stayed healthy, 7-9. You chalked that one up to being a rookie, young rookie coach as well. So things went and played out the way they did. They bounced back the next year, as you talked about, Ryan, and got themselves to the number one seed before the injury took place. And we know Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. For me, Ryan, next year is obviously crucial for Carson.
Absolutely.
It's
crucial.
About staying healthy, and it's about coming back and giving us that same level of play that we saw a season ago to make him the MVP candidate before he went down.
Because, again, guys, this is the show-me business. You know, the draft position is irrelevant. The whole idea, well, I'm just going to give him money because he's a second overall pick, doesn't make any sense. I mean, because, again, looking for next season, I want to be in a position to win a Super Bowl next season.
No question.
So I don't want to take up a whole cap space. You know, usually the best way is to have a quarterback on that rookie deal where you can put pieces around him and you can make a run. That's what Seattle was able to do for several years, obviously, with Russell Wilson. But the thing that we've been missing is the franchise quarterback staying healthy and winning playoff games. That's where Wentz has fallen.
And then the other thing, Ryan, happy holidays, C-Man. Thanks for the call. The other thing will be, of course, can Nick Foles do the same thing if he's out there long term for 16 games? Can he go out there and be a competitive quarterback and have this team competitive to win the NFC East number one? And the new norm, as Doug Peterson said, we no longer only gauge things on winning in the NFC East. It's about getting to the Super Bowl now. Forget about the NFC East. It's the Super Bowl. So can Nick Foles give you 16? We don't know. We don't know. We can only go off the sample of what he's been able to do the end of last year and the playoffs and now these last two games and the third game here on Sunday against Washington, and we'll see how things play out after that if the season continues. 610-632-0975. Doug Peterson's presser coming up in just a short few minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.